This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Native. Inner Hole
Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, who is your favorite neighborhood bald, licensed mental health
counselor. We stand.
I'm excited, y'all. Thank you. Thank you.
Cool. You were already licensed in my head the whole time, but I'm glad that New York State put the seal of approval on it or whatever. But it was always real.
Thank you.
It's always been real. I'm very proud of you. For the new year, we are switching things up. Many of you like group episodes a little bit more than you like interview episodes. So for the top of the year, we're hitting you with all group and all duo episodes. For new listeners, that means myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts will be talking about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we'll be hitting you with interviews with insightful folks. On today's episode, we will be speaking about sleep, how you're not getting enough of it, and how you can get some more. The sex trafficking victim who is on trial for murder, even though all she was doing was defending herself. Nude models and body shapes. The hashtag Sam Get Her Groove Bag Challenge. And our new segment, Politics, aka your rundown on where the 2020 presidential candidates stand on sex, love, and dating policy issues.
And if you would like to follow this conversation had on this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hole Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to igpodcast@gmail.com. Some of the things we offer are keynote speaking sessions. We will host sex trivia at your school. We can host parties at your school. We can do pleasure workshops. One time Akua did a pleasure workshop and it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Thank you.
And if you would like to see that amazing thing, you can for a fee. Let's go into our first segment of the day. Today, we have Bae of the Week.
Bae of the Week. And my bae is Jessica Upeller. Jessica is a...
bad bitch.
Say it again.
Bad bitch.
She is a model, particularly, I would like to say a nude model. A lot of her photographs and showcase work are with her nude or with in kind of lingerie, you know, skimpily clad things.
Yes.
She is my bae because it was recently her birthday. Happy birthday, Jess.
Happy birthday.
And that is how she happened on my timeline because someone else shouted her out for her birthday. And I was like, who is this bad bitch? And then went digging. She's a dark skinned woman, nude model, but she has what you would call a rectangular body shape.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like speaking about body shapes because they're sexist and
body shamey, and then also very differing by times.
Mm-hmm.
But people act like, no, this is the shape people always wanted, and it changes mm-hmm. every 20 years, but we're just going to be really ahistorical.
Right. But I'm referencing it so that you could get a picture, and a rectangle body shape is when someone's shoulder width isn't parallel to their waist mm-hmm. and with their hips.
Mm-hmm.
It looking at her pictures, and she also has a bit of an athletic build. Like she work out, she makes sure it's all in shape.
And she has some big ass titties. Sorry.
No, them things are there. But what I loved about it was the one seeing her dark skin, seeing her nude showcasing this body shape that isn't popular on Instagram.
Yeah,
usually
yeah.
when you see nude models, when you see women kind of bearing their bodies in these ways, they're always this hourglass, very yeah. curvy shaped. And here she is fucking killing it.
Killing it in the game, yeah.
Just,
yeah.
She was wearing this red thing that like, just barely covered the nipples and like barely covered the vulva. It was like vaginal floss. And the red against her skin and then just the... Oh, child. I stared at that picture for a while.
Was on hard.
I stared at that picture for a while. Yeah, I was like, oh, my Lord. It gets even better because Jessica also has an art magazine, which mm-hmm. is called Sa Magazine. S-U-M-A-G-A-Z-I-N-E, that's focused all on dark-skinned women of color and all of their nude bodily glory.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so you're just spreading this love everywhere.
We truly love to see it.
I stand.
We truly love to see it.
And that is why Jessica is my bae of the week.
Thank you for that. I like the fact that you showed rectangle body some love. I feel like I almost have a rectangle body right before my womanly hips came in just a little bit. But before that, I did have a rectangle body for a really long time, and I felt very self-conscious about it.
But you've always slayed, bitch.
Thank you.
Always slayed.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Shout out to the rectangles.
Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to all body shapes.
Yeah. All of us.
Now we're going to go on to Ho of the Week. Who are our hoes this week?
Tamika Cooper and Elizabeth F. Who paid a ho?
Thank you,
and
Tamika
Elizabeth upped her pledge on Patreon.
We truly love to see that. Yeah. Maybe she was like, let me get these new Patreon perks.
Yes.
There are new perks on Patreon. All right. Now we're going to go to a quick break from a message from our sponsor. And the message is to take care of your body because it is the only place you have to live.
Amen.
Yeah, it's true. Do you like to smell like a whole snack and ensure that your body is toxin-free? Well, boy, have we got the product for you. Native is a deodorant and hygiene brand that is safe, smells good, and contains ingredients that you know. Did you know that many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating? You know, I knew that aluminum was in it, but I didn't know that was the exact process.
And me
that,
either.
That kind of scares me.
Because you can't get that out. There's no amount of scrubbing.
It's just hanging out in there. That is not good. So Native's deodorant is actually made without aluminum, so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum, parabens, and talc. It is also vegan and never tested on animals. All good things. Their deodorant is made with ingredients you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. Yes, I know those very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wear deodorant every day. Shouldn't you be able to understand the ingredients list? So you might think, I mean, aluminum is bad, but won't I smell bad without it?
Mm-mm.
That is not the case. Making the switch to aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Native will keep you smelling fresh and feeling fresh all day long.
And I can testify to that, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
They have over 10 scents, including their classics and their rotating seasonals. And with them, you're guaranteed to find the one you love.
Mm-hmm.
Their classic scents include coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint.
Mm-hmm.
I personally use the lavender and rose. I thought about the coconut and vanilla, but really did not want to smell like a snack because I was going to smell like cookies all day, y'all. I can't do
it. I guess I like smelling like cookies.
You know, they got something for everybody. They knew I wasn't going to smell like a cookie, so they said, here's some rose. I use Native on me and my son because he's hit puberty, and that be your boy.
He's hit puberty?
He's been hitting puberty since like 7 years.
He's not pre-puberty?
I don't know what it is, but that be your on 10, okay?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Native, a little swipe of Native in the morning and after bedtime, after shower at bed.
He smells like a rose.
You don't smell nothing. He smells like a rose. It's lovely. And I remember when he started hitting puberty and I was looking for something natural without all these, you know, chemicals in it because at a growing stage in this period of his life, we don't need extra.
He doesn't need aluminum plugs in his armpits.
He just needs to smell a bit better. And Native was like, I got you. Native comes in a wide variety of options for all genders and ages. Haha. They also offer an unscented option and a baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. Plus, there's no risk to try. Native offers free shipping on every order, and Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the USA. Still not convinced by my testimonial and what we say here today? You can check out their over 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers who made the switch to Native.
If you don't want to take our words for it. For 20% off your first purchase, you can visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code IHU during checkout. Once again, head over to nativedeodorant.com and use promo code I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising during checkout for 20% off your first purchase. Now we're going to get into self-care tip of the week.
Ooh, so sometimes I get into these musings.
And this felt like what that was. I was like, oh, there's a lot of text here.
Yeah.
It's like a coup's in her bag again.
So my self-care tip of the week spawned from my recent troubles with sleep. Typically when people come to me or when my clients come to me and talk about difficulties with their sleep that's attributed to their mental health, I like doing holistic approaches and behavioral changes before we go to medication. So I was like, let me do that for y'all as well.
We are all your clients.
But not really.
We can pretend.
So the information I'm going to relay to you guys are going to be related to mild and moderate insomnia and just general troubles falling asleep and maintaining sleep. I do have to say, if you have sleep troubles persisting for more than 2 weeks, to go see your general practitioner, your primary care doctor. So the first way to kind of help us get better sleeps and then sleeps.
I thought that was a therapist thing. I was like, okay, I guess it's called sleeps now.
It's just a black girl thing.
Oh yeah. Happy New Year's.
So one way to get better sleep, if you're experiencing occasional sleepiness or sleeplessness, is to improve your sleep hygiene. So sleep hygiene is the practices and habits that are necessary to have a good night's sleep and to ensure full daytime alertness. How do you know if your sleep hygiene needs some work? Mm-hmm. If you tired, if you're not sleeping through the night, and if you sleep through the night but are still sleepy during the day, this might be an indication to kind of evaluate what's happening with our sleep and pay better close attention to it. So first up in improving our sleep hygiene is to create a routine. That means going to sleep at the same time and waking up at the same time, no matter what, weekends, holidays, paid vacations. What a lot of us do is we have alarms set during the week for work, you know, if you're on a 9-to-5 or, you know, whatever your work shift is. And then on the weekends, we are sleeping in late. We are going to bed a lot later than normal. And then Monday rolls around and boom, we ain't got enough sleep. So making it a good practice, I know it's hard, y'all. I love to sleep in. Ain't nobody waking up at 7 a.m. to do nothing.
On a Sunday.
Nothing. Yeah. But making it a practice to wake up at the same time and go to sleep around the same time. Mm-hmm. Create rituals, things that you do to wind your body down and prepare yourself for sleep. It could be taking a shower before bed. It could be drinking tea. Here's a hint for tea that works really well. Lavender calms you down. Chamomile calms you down. Celestial Seasonings, Sleepy Time Tea. That shit will...
Yeah, I used to drink that.
It got a little bear on it. It will knock you out, y'all.
Conversely, like, you shouldn't have teas with caffeine, so just be sure. Because a lot of teas do have caffeine in them. You don't want to drink that before bed.
Other rituals are breathing, deep breathing and relaxation breathing before bed. So you're in bed, you're trying to wind down, you can focus on your breathing. There are some in-bed stretches and on-the-floor stretches that you can do as a part of a nighttime routine. You can do head-to-toe body scanning. I put links in there for you, so Smith is going to put them in the show notes. And these take you to websites that tell you exactly what it is and how to do it in very clear, yes, in very fine detail and very clear steps that are evidence-based and actually real. So when thinking about a routine, you can journal before bed. If you know you're a person prone to anxiety and that keeps you up, kind of writing those thoughts out before you get in the bed so they're not swimming around in your head while you try to go to sleep. In creating these rituals, think about things that are relaxing for you and that will calm you down or put you in a calm space. So even if that's like crocheting and knitting, like... things that are sedentary and that will just kind of put your mind on autopilot so you can drift to sleep. Number three, create an environment for sleep. Get a comfortable bedspread, dim lighting or dark if you like the dark. My son don't like the dark. So we sleep with the lights on, or we sleep with the TV on, which is bad because another tip is to avoid all screens. But dim lighting or turn off the lights, use an eye mask, get a white noise machine. And especially if you're in like a city or metropolitan area and there's like a whole lot of street noise, a whole lot of environment noise. That will help drown it out. I have a lot of my clients play calming sounds on YouTube. So you can literally Google calming sounds and it'll be like an 8-hour loop of the wind blowing.
Yeah, that's why I go to sleep too.
Or rain, or some people even like the city sounds and they got an 8-hour loop.
You can
get
very specific stuff. Last night I saw one that said mother and child breathing.
Yo, YouTube?
I was like, that's a bit too creepy for me to go to sleep to, but
somebody
out
there.
It does have everything, yes.
It has everything. Get, if you got it like that, if the funds are hitting, get a weighted blanket or a sleep pod. So a sleep pod is like an adult swaddle.
Oh, nice.
It's like this. Think of like a sock, but you like, or like a very.
Is it a sleeping bag?
Yeah, it's like a very tight sleeping bag made of like this stretchy material and it compresses you. Avoid naps before bedtime. If you know you, at the top of this, I told you to pick a time to go to bed and stick to it. If you pick that time at 8, there's no nap at 6:30. There's just not. And if you are a napper during the day, try to cut it down to at least like 30 minutes just so you have, you know, rest to get at the end of the day. Avoid substances such as alcohol and drugs before sleeping. Avoid eating before sleeping, and that is my guilty pleasure. And last but not least, if you are trying to sleep and you're having difficulty sleep, I always tell people give it about 15, 20 minutes of trying and then get up and do something. Ideally, one of these calming things that are a part of our ritual that I spoke about earlier, and then try going to sleep, because you end up creating a lot more anxiety, tossing and turning and counting the clock. And I have 8 hours and 2 minutes before I have to wake up. I have four hours and 2 minutes. Yeah. So just get up, do something else that's a bit relaxing, and then get back. If you try any of these or all of these and it doesn't work, you can then move on to over-the-counter sleep aids. They make a lot now that are non-habit forming. You'll hear the commercials. What I'm using now is melatonin. And before I get into this, I'm going to say again that I am not a medical professional. You should follow all labels on over-the-counter sleeping aids. You should always get an opinion from your physical doctor who knows your health and all of that. So what is melatonin? Melatonin is a naturally occurring hormone that regulates our sleep and wake cycle. It's primarily released by our pineal gland, but is also available as an over-the-counter synthetic supplement that is often used to help with short-term treatment of sleeping problems. Again, the keyword is short-term. What I've also found in research that it can aggravate some mental health issues, such as bipolar disorder for people who have mania or hypomania. Mm-hmm. So again, if you have other existing health conditions, whether physical or mental, see your medical provider about that. Melatonin is best for short-term use, typically 2 milligrams to 3 milligrams of melatonin before bedtime for up to about 20 weeks has been shown effective in research related to insomnia and trouble sleeping. Melatonin can have interactions with sedatives, birth control, caffeine, immunosuppressants, anticoagulants, which are medications that regulate the way your blood clots, and anti-diabetes medications. So keep that all in mind as you're thinking of an over-the-counter sleep aid. If your sleeping issues persist for more than 2 to 3 weeks, that is when you should go see a medical or mental health provider. I have included a PDF for sleep diaries to help you in doing that. We've talked a lot about our interactions with medical providers, and it can be hard to talk to them and really, like, in the spot, remember what your symptoms are and things like that. So having a sleep diary is jogging down your sleeping habits, when you fell asleep, what you were doing before you fell asleep, and things like that. When you started to feel tired, how long you felt tired, so that you can have documented proof to show your medical providers.
Shouldn't be like that.
I chuckle because that shouldn't be the case, but you can have a clearer understanding of what's happening so you can better express yourself when you're there. When you do see your doctor about these sleep issues, you know, ask for blood work, ask for referrals to a sleep specialist and for sleep testing, ask for referrals to a mental health professional if your troubles are accompanied by other mental health symptoms. So attached in the show notes, you're going to find a sleep diary, a PDF template from the American Academy of Sleep.
Yay.
I hope you hoes get some good sleep.
I hope you all get some rest. Thank you, Akua. Okay, now we are going on to our segment called Fuck That, which is our current events segment where we talk about sex as it pertains to current events in the world. We're speaking about one story today, and before we do so, we want to give a content warning for sex trafficking, child abuse, sexual abuse, misogynoir, and intimate partner violence. Yeah, Akua, take it away.
So today we are going to be talking about Crystal Kizer. Crystal is a 19-year-old Black woman from Wisconsin who's currently incarcerated and awaiting trial for the murder of her abuser and trafficker, 34-year-old Randall Voller III, who she met when she was 16. Crystal is accused of shooting him in the head, lighting his body on fire, and fleeing the scene in his car when she was 17. Her charges include first degree intentional homicide, auto theft, and arson of a building, and felony bail jumping and possession of a firearm. The prosecutors in Wisconsin are claiming that her actions were premeditated, citing Facebook activity and text messages to friends and family, which referenced her actions prior to the incident. In reading about the case and learning more about Crystal, what stood out to me was that she has a lot of history, both personal and familial, with intimate partner violence. So mm-hmm. she's witnessed her mother being abused. She herself is or was then, I don't know if she's still in that relationship, but was being abused at the hands of her partner while being sex trafficked by
this guy, Randall.
Yeah, the deceased. Well, that's what we'll call him. So that really stood out to me. About Randall. Randall's a 33-year-old white man. Randall has a history of sexually abusing young Black girls. And most of them on tape, currently in evidence in the hands of the Wisconsin Legal Enforcement Department.
And when you say girls, you specifically mean underage girls.
I mean girls.
Yeah.
They are not women. They are girls. Primarily as young as 12, as old as maybe Crystal, 17. Voller was arrested in February of 2018, prior to his death in June, on charges of child enticement, using a computer to facilitate a sex crime, second-degree sexual assault of a child. The police uncovered... Oh, and this happened because there was a 15-year-old Black girl who called the police from his home, stating that he was drugging her, he wouldn't let her leave, and that he was going to kill her. And then she hung up. So the police went investigating and they found her on the street high off of the LSD. And then that moved further to them, you know, getting a search warrant and searching his house and arresting him. And in that search, they uncovered what they've said are hundreds, quote unquote, of child pornography videos featuring girls who appear to be as young as 12, and more than 20 home videos quoted of Voller, you know, engaging in sexual acts with these underage Black girls. Despite all of that, they released him with no bail.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. No summons back to court, and no sex crimes were documented or forwarded to the DA's office to be for further persecution.
What the fuck happened?
They claim to have somehow dropped the ball. He has it's now found now after his death, and in their investigation to charge Crystal, that he has had bank activity that's indicative of human trafficking. So he dealt primarily in cryptocurrency, legally, they said. And his bank activity showed like transfers of millions of dollars, like indicative of like human trafficking. Also that his behaviors from testimonies from the young 15-year-old and from Crystal showed grooming activities, for him grooming them into sex work, or forced sex work, including giving them large amounts of money, giving them gifts. Crystal had been arrested for, driving a stolen car earlier that year, and he paid her bail, and then continued to like just flourish her with like gifts and money at like large expensive gifts and large amounts of money at a time. And that in their both of their testimonies that he would give them instructions on how to engage in sex work. So he would post things on Backpage. He'll post ads on Backpage for them and drive them or give them Ubers to the locations with these men and tell them to like get the money up front and to come back and give it to him and things like that. So that is that white man.
I am disgusted.
So in terms of Crystal's case, under federal law of the United States of America, all children who are bought or sold for sex are sex trafficking victims, regardless of the circumstance. Mm-hmm. 30 states and the District of Columbia have stopped charging minors with prostitution because it's not prostitution. It is sex trafficking.
Right.
Right. Most states, including Wisconsin, where Crystal is being charged and held and where she is from, mm-hmm. have a law that gives sex trafficking victims what is called an affirmative defense, which means that if they can prove at trial that they committed a crime while and because they were being trafficked, some of the charges against them would be, they would be acquitted for some of the charges against them. So in Crystal's case, under affirmative defense, she would probably not be charged for first degree intentional homicide, but yeah, she probably would get arson of a building. Yeah, but the homicide charge would probably be acquitted or reduced to something lower. The affirmative defense has not been used in any court cases to date. It's only been used in plea bargains with prosecutors and the accused. So Crystal's case was going to be the first to set a precedent about whether she could use affirmative defense. Mm-hmm. But a judge recently ruled in December that she didn't fit that.
Why not?
Because that's what he thought.
Did he have any
no
reasoning with his ruling?
Like, his ruling was that her case did not fit the criteria for affirmative defense, and in his opinion, no violent crimes should.
Oh, wow.
So that goes on to set a very dangerous precedent, because this is the first ruling regarding affirmative defenses for crimes committed by sex trafficked people. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit scary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to remake this clear, because it was kind of confusing for mm-hmm. me. So if it was confusing for people to listen to, let's work this through again. Mm-hmm. So affirmative defense is, it's a law?
It's a
precedent?
No. It's a defense tactic. It's a defense. It would be a defense tactic.
Okay, so, because under federal law, all children bought and sold under sex trafficking are victims and therefore can't be
prostitutes, yeah.
And so they can't be convicted of the crimes done while they were being trafficked?
Yes.
Okay. And that could technically apply to all crimes, but it hasn't been tried for violent crimes or homicide.
It hasn't been used for anything.
Oh, it's only in plea deals. Yes. Okay.
It hasn't been used for anything thus far.
So this would be important regardless, if her lawyers used the defense and she was, acquitted of all charges, because then it would mean that people who have been trafficked, like, are not going to be convicted of killing their trafficker.
Yes. So gotcha. Her lawyers did present this to the court, and then their judge said no.
Well, I hate this motherfucker.
Don't like that white man. Nope.
Interesting. Okay, continue.
And now her lawyers are appealing. So she is currently still incarcerated, and
they're appealing to a different court?
Yes.
Okay.
So they'll appeal to a higher court mm-hmm. and see if those judges overturn that conviction and will allow the use of affirmative defense for Crystal's case.
Mm-hmm. And we hope that does happen, because yes. If not, then it'll be appealed more and more and more to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And we do know that the Supreme Court is a very conservative Supreme Court.
Hmm.
Which is why we're talking about politics later.
Yes.
These things are very important.
These things are very connected. What I wanted to get into are the incongruencies due to racism. And
okay. Let's talk about
misogyny. Yes. Given the fact that Crystal's bail was set at $1 million. And yet Randy went home.
Exactly. There we go. I think that is the only line anyone ever needed to hear in their entire lives. If an alien came down to this fucked up place and was like, just tell me anything that demonstrates this inequality shit that you're talking about.
They put a sex traffic
in the same state. It's not even like, he was found out in blah, 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 whatever. No, it's the same state, potentially even the same city.
The same city, yes. Oh, no. Well, yeah, no.
It's the same state. And Wisconsin got like 200 niggas in it. Okay. There's not that many people there. So
they are a minor.
Fucking girl, man.
And in my research,
he's a monster. They saw evidence of him being a monster.
In my research for the charges that Randy was to be committed for, bails are usually set as high as like 100,000, like 100,000 and plus, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so that you can't pay it or you have to like really come up with collateral to get out.
Exactly.
And they let that man go home to continue to abuse and traffic underage black girls.
Also, like, a little tangent about how, like, bail doesn't even make any sense in the first place because, like, it's literally an economic punishment. Mm-hmm. Like, you could do the same crime, but a poorer person can't pay it and a richer person can.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he did actually, like,
get bail, he would have paid it.
He would have paid it with all the money he's making from fucking sex trafficking. Mm-hmm.
The coverage in Crystal's case really shows that the police lack knowledge about sex trafficking and the law.
Right.
Like, they're purely ignorant about the fact that these girls cannot consent to this.
Yeah, what is up with that, right? Like, y'all niggas need to fucking do some fucking research.
Y'all gotta read.
And I'm not talking about niggas who listen to the show, because I'm sure you all do research, but, like, these niggas need to do research, because there's this constant conflation of sex trafficking and sex work,
and
it's not working for either side. Like, nope. Here's a girl who's actually been sex trafficked. What? She's prostituting herself out. And then there's actual sex workers who are just trying to live. Now, we're just going to shut down all your means of income really quick. I don't get it. What's going on? How do you not know how to define things?
Shutting down their means of income as a way to prevent sex trafficking, but then girls. Letting sex traffickers go out of jail.
Right. What?
Make it make sense, Jesus. Make it make sense. One plus one gotta make two. Even in the police reports of the 15-year-old girl that had called the police and had started this spotlight on Randy, the officer's report said that she was prostituting herself out. She can't do that.
She's literally 15.
The law says she cannot.
She's literally 15. It just makes no fucking... It's just all this make no sense, like, very biased, very misogynistic, very racist dynamic, because you're not letting your 15-year-old daughters go out on dates. Wisconsin, that's the type of fucking state where a nigga comes to the door with a gun because mm-hmm. his daughter's trying to go on a date with somebody.
Trying to go to the movies.
So there's this very protection here, but no protection here.
No, because guess what? They black girls. And what really disturbed me was that the DA, I'm going to say his name, Michael Gravely, they wouldn't let Crystal's defense have the access to all of the files on Randy on his sex trafficking abuse as part of their case.
Why?
Because they don't like black girls.
I get that part, but, like, what is the justification? Like, I want to know the legal reasonings.
I couldn't get into, but eventually Crystal's lawyers fought that, and they were given all of those files.
Good.
But it was like, they shouldn't have had to.
Because this DA nigga's trying to just get a fucking prosecution.
They shouldn't have to. A prosecution on the back of a young black girl who has already been through so much.
I'm disgusted. I'm truly disgusted.
So that is what is going on with Crystal Kizer. I would love for you guys to, you know, speak more about her case and to get a lot of awareness around it. She needs that support, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to get her story out there into the powers that be that could help her, mm-hmm. you know, regain her freedom.
Mm-hmm. I know that there is a position. I don't know how useful that position will be. It's something that I shared in the past newsletter that I sent out. But I'll put that in the link in the description of this episode. And then also, I think her fan... Is she out?
No, she's still in jail. Well, she's still in prison.
I saw a GoFundMe for her bail fund. Maybe they just didn't ask for enough money because you just said it's $1 million.
It's $1 million.
I think you only have to pay 10% on that, though, right? For bail? I think that's how bail works, which means she needs $100 million.
Ooh.
I'm wilding. I'm just like, give her money. $100,000?
Give her money.
No, seriously. Like, what is it? Restitution? But the GoFundMe had only asked for $10,000. So even if, like, they need more.
Yeah.
So just keep giving it. Yeah. And all of that will be in the description of this episode. Thank you for breaking that down, Akua.
No worries.
And if you skipped that... Welcome back. I still want you guys to know about the story, but I understand why.
Yes. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. What
Okay, let's go on to our next segment, which is called Fuck Me. The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And last week, introduced a new mini-series called the How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge.
Yes.
And this challenge is one in which I go on a date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you all cute dates. This season, you give me some. You can DM us on Instagram at Innerhole Uprising. You can DM us on Twitter or tweet us at Innerhole Uprising. You can email ihupodcast@gmail.com. But I need some ideas.
You can shout them out to us on the street.
Yeah. You can also call us 404-491-9158 and leave us a voicemail. Yeah, you can do all of these things because, you know, these motherfuckers out here don't really be having date ideas. They're all you, Akua, basically. They're just like, huh?
I wanted to do stuff, but I'm not planning it.
So I was supposed to go on a date this weekend. Clearly, I'm sick. I didn't necessarily want to do that, although I'm going out tomorrow. But, you know, that man just stopped talking to me.
As they do.
And I thought it was going fine-ish, but like secretly, I didn't like
him. She didn't like him, y'all.
And there was nothing wrong with him. He was actually very nice. He's a queer man, which I like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it means you're not a fucking dickhead. I mean, it could mean that you're a dickhead, but he wasn't.
What's the chances? Mm-hmm.
He was very, intersectional and things like that. But,
But you didn't like him.
It's just a bit boring. And not because of all of those things.
No, the personality was flat.
It was flat. A bit like, I'm talking about work a lot. And like, I don't care. I don't even talk about like what I do. And I think that that's actually interesting. But I'm just like, I'm not trying to like bore y'all niggas with the fucking details. Let's talk about life. Like, so that didn't end up happening. I'm not mad. But should I be, you know, like to like play in this a little bit? Should I just like get past that? Because I don't like most humans in general, but like men and then like romantically, I don't think I like most people. So like, where does the point come where I'm just like, all right, pony up. I guess that's what this challenge was supposed to be. But I did go out already for the week and I was just like, okay, I'm not going to try anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Wait, no, what is the question?
Even when I don't like someone and it's not because they're a bad person, I'm just not feeling it. Should I trudge forward?
For the sake of the date or?
The date, this challenge, but even greater, just like my life.
No to all three. Nope. Nuh-uh.
Why?
If you're not feeling the person, will you?
I'm never going to go.
Exactly.
That's wait, bad,
are you,
though.
Oh, you're saying you're never going to go out?
Yeah.
But we also,
like, even last week, like, he's cool, but I wasn't, like, wasn't fucking gung-ho about it, to be honest. I was not gung-ho. And this is no shade to any of these people. I'm just not gung-ho.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like niggas like that.
Women.
I want to make that very clear. Niggas is all people. I do not like people like that.
I think that you should trudge forward if the date is something you really want to do and this is the opportunity
Bingo.
To do it.
Yes, good point.
And number
True.
Two.
I think that's why last week excited me more than this week.
Mm-hmm.
This week was food. And I do
you
love food,
day.
But yeah. Smith I could eats. Order that shit to my house, honestly.
And not have to deal with this man
yes.
and his talks
yes.
about work.
Yes, last week was something that I didn't do before. So and a Japanese restaurant that I've done 40 times.
It's an opportunity, you know, if it's something you haven't done before. But we also talked about doing this date challenge platonically.
Yes.
So, you know, you like me sometimes.
I do like you. Okay, that's not what I was asking. Mm-hmm. Okay, true, well, true, true. It's not that I would never go out. I would just be going out by myself or with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
In this instance, this was already something that was supposed to be planned, and it just all, like, he did stop talking to me, but I didn't follow up because I didn't care.
And that's the energy we need in 2020.
Okay.
He wants to ghost you. We not going to follow.
I don't think he really ghosted me. Those situations where, like, the person is always hitting you up.
Mm-hmm.
And they might just be doing, like, let me see if this bitch is really about
and
it.
Samantha was like, nah. You tried the wrong one.
You will never hear from me again.
That was an instance in which he tried the wrong one. I'm sorry.
I will literally disappear. I have ghosted family members.
Exactly. We be ghosting everybody over here, okay? One day, Samantha will hit me up at this podcast and she won't find me. I don't know what to tell y'all. We be out. But... Ooh. But no, just no. That's the energy we need in 2020. Okay, if you're okay. not feeling it, you're not feeling okay. it. There's so many avenues and other ways to get what we're looking for and to get things done that is like we shouldn't be pushing ourselves to do something we're not wholeheartedly yes. in.
Okay. I will go forward if I'm excited about the person. Rarely the case. and it's no shade. It's really not shade. I just don't care. Yeah. I will go forward if it's I'm excited about the person or if I'm excited about the activity. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not, then I will go forward because I am excited about hanging out with my friends or I'm excited about taking myself out. Mm-hmm. Reframing. Thank you. I needed that reset. But I did go to see the movie Parasite with one of my friends over the week. Mm-hmm. That was a really good movie.
Okay. I didn't know if it was out, but okay.
It is a Korean film. Did you ever see Snowpiercer?
You know damn well I didn't.
But it's the same director and it's okay. a very good film. It's a good commentary on class and capitalism. And it's like thriller and black comedy and all this good stuff. So I would recommend it. Yeah. I will have one next week though, because I am going out tomorrow. I was going out by myself anyway, and I was like, nigga, you want to come along? And he was like, oh, okay. So that is that. Do you have anything for fuck me?
No.
How's your processing going?
We're going to act like I tried. I'm just in a space where it's like, it's cold. I want to sleep.
That makes sense, too.
We'll see. The processing will kick in a lot when the weather gets warmer and there's more sun because I'm just a lot more social.
Yeah.
Or willing to be social and willing uh-huh. to put myself out there uh-huh. in the summer months. But during the winter, I just be like, look, I'm out here because I have to.
I feel that. They made me go to work. I feel like it's been kind of like a warmish winter. So I'm like, okay, it has. Sure.
It is going to be 60-something degrees tomorrow. And I'm afraid.
Yes. Well, the world is ending. So go there on dates are. Now yes. while there is still a world to do so.
Because we can't date during the apocalypse.
Niggas will find a way, though. That's when you get those fucking soda can rings.
Oh.
Yeah. Very cute. Okay, let's go on to our next segment. So it would have been fuck you, but we did not receive any listener letters. But to go through what that is, fuck you is our segment about your sex, love, and dating lives, where you can share your hotels, rant against the white cishet patriarchy, or ask us for some advice. And you can send those thoughts to ichupodcast@gmail.com. And we would like for you to include your pronouns when you do so. And because we are in the future, you can also leave us a voicemail now. So if you call 404-491-9158, we will play your voicemail on the show and respond to it then. In lieu of fuck you, we are doing a very new segment that I'm very excited about.
So excited.
And it's called Politics. Not as in many dicks, but just a pun about politics. And I know many people are like, politics is very boring.
Not here it ain't,
first of all. And second of all, this isn't going to be a boring segment because it affects your life. So this segment is where I do a rundown on the 2020 presidential candidates and their platforms as they pertain to sex, gender, sexuality, reproductive rights, and race. And this will sometimes include candidates who have dropped out because those people might be on a VP ticket. Mm-hmm. And because, like the person I'm about to talk about later, those people go on to endorse other people. So it's good to know who's behind the other person because that says a lot about who they're endorsing. Yes, exactly. So this week we are starting with Julian Castro, a bit of a backstory. He is a Mexican-American Texas native. His mom was a Chicana political activist. He is the former mayor of San Antonio and the former secretary of housing and urban development, the position that for some reason Ben Carson has right now. He is also an identical twin, and his brother Joaquin Castro recently posted what some of political Twitter is calling a thirst trap. Please look at it, Akua. I want to know your thoughts.
Joaquin.
I know that he's not your type. But I just want to know your thoughts. The link to that photo is in the description of the episode.
They think this is a thirst trap.
I knew it was that. You know, I knew that you weren't going to be jazzed, but...
Is there context for this
thing? I didn't know that you were going to be that unjazzed.
There's nothing thirsty about this.
Okay, so he's a politician, though. So, like, it would be weird if, like, Obama was like, oh, here's my, you know, man scruff late at night. I think it's a very man scruff late at night bedroom eyes. He's growing out his beard. There's a subset of people who love beards. I understand what they were going for. I would let him take me out on a date.
I mean, I too, and it might be the beard, but that man look—he looked like he snapped.
What? No, I'm like Lifetime's show. No.
I stopped mid sentence. I thought you were gonna correct me on his gender. So,
Okay. No. His gender is
he?
I was going to just say that he's also a politician.
I understand he's a politician, but. He looked like he took this picture before he went to bed.
I think that's what he did, and I think that's why people like it. It's like a very come to the room, baby.
No, he looked fatigued.
this nigga's tired.
There ain't nothing thirsty about
this. It's all fucking pygmies who like it. They're like, I'll take care of you. I know you tired, baby.
I'll rub your back to sleep. Akua told me about sleep hygiene.
I'll give you some fucking melatonin, nigga.
He looked tired. That's it.
Maybe
they're putting the beard on him and calling it a thirst trap. That is
Thirst trap has been co-opted.
It's been co-opted.
To just mean this is a picture of someone who I find attractive.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for humoring me on that. Please. You all can weigh in on whether or not you think it's a thirst trap. So back to his brother. Who's his twin brother? But for some reason, I actually think that his twin looks better. I think Joaquin looks better than Julian.
I gotta go.
Which is fucked up.
I gotta go find Julian.
I also think Tia looks better than Tamara. Tia's the one from the game. Tamara's the one from the real.
I know them distinctly. They are not identical to me. I'm just trying
to figure out. They're not. There's something a little bit different.
I'm just trying to figure out who I think is more attractive. Yeah. Tia. We wrong. That's pretty good.
The better twins. I'd be so sick if I was a twin. Twin and niggas call me the ugly twin.
Yo.
Like, where do I go from here, son? No, what do you want from me? Julian and Joaquin. Julian just looks a little bit more... uptight, a little bit more.
He looked like a politician.
Yeah,
they also don't look alike. Nah. Even if I slap the beard on him, they don't look
alike. We gotta get fucking Janina on this show to tell us about these the genetics of identical twins, because I don't buy it. I'm a whole type conspiracy theorist.
I remember reading something that was like identical twins can really be fraternal and nobody notices it because they're the same gender, so they just think they're identical. And dang, I think I saved that on Facebook. I'm gonna find it. But I remember that.
Wow.
So this could be the case, okay? Because they look related, but do they look the same? Nah, no, they don't.
That's what I want to see, Julian. Like, release your fucking taxes, release your fucking genetics.
Give me your
release
DNA.
Release your real identity. Yeah. Okay, well, back to Julian. Mm-hmm. He dropped out of the race for presidential candidate on January 2nd, 2020. He was running on the Democratic ticket and quickly went on to endorse Elizabeth Warren, I think, like immediately after. He was like, I'm done. So. Take that into account. This endorsement has led many to speculate if Warren nabs the primary, Castro will be her running mate. And a lot of people who are Castro fans were like, that's a ticket I can stand behind. Also keep that in mind. I'm going to break down his policy plans as he breaks them down on his website. He has a really extensive plan. And at the top of the plan page, it's like a quote from Audre Lorde that's very much like, we cannot deal with issues in separate because all issues are like interlocked. Something like that. It was a very intersectional approach to it. Yes. And he really it's just a well-designed website. Like, I went on Joe Biden's website after to compare, and I'm like, this nigga is like, it's a very scattered brain website. Mm. So, okay, I appreciate the fact that you're appealing to people who are finding information online. Who does that? All right, so the first place we're starting is criminal justice reform. So one of the policy proposals that he has for criminal justice reform is the PREA, or Prison Rape Elimination Act. He would like to strengthen that to ensure that every prison is compliant with PREA, and also he wants to make it a point to ensure that women and LGBTQ people are particularly protected. It doesn't really outline how PREA is going to change to address women and LGBTQ people, but the fact that he's even including that in prison reform is important, I think, or important to note. He also would like to pass legislation to ensure that incarcerated folks receive free access to reproductive care, like menstruation products and pre and postnatal care. And I said folks, but on the website, it actually said people, like it didn't say women. So it's inclusive of the fact that Everybody has babies. Exactly. There you go.
All right.
He would also like to guarantee access to gender confirmation surgery and appropriate accommodations for trans people who are incarcerated.
Well, you know what, Julia? You sure you don't want to come back? Because let's go on and see what else we got.
So then we have policing. So with policing, under the lens that I was looking through things at, I didn't see anything specific in terms of his proposal. So one thing that I was looking for in regards to policing was something about the correlation between police officers and domestic violence. And that might be too in the weeds to consider in your campaign policy proposal. But we're in the weeds on this show, so that's what I was looking for. Just because there is a very high prevalence of police officers, particularly male police officers, also being domestic abusers.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know, fund some research, figure it out. What he does do is propose screening measures to detect bias. So I feel like that's somewhat in line with something that I was looking for. I was also looking for policies that specifically protect against officers committing sexual misconduct amongst people that they're arresting. That reminds me of the officer from, I think it was Oklahoma, who was found guilty of like sexually assaulting, I think like 12 black women.
Mm-hmm. 12 known.
Yes, 12 known. It seemed like he was wilding the fuck out. Yeah.
So, or even the New York City officers who were sexually abusing the women they arrested.
Yeah. It's we know that it is common, and I do think that it is something that should be addressed and handled. Something that he does, because he didn't specifically outline it, but something that he does that I think gets at that is proposes increased accountability measures for officers. So actually keeping track of paperwork of instances where it's like, oh, this report was made against an officer. And I'm thinking like an outside bureau actually observing that instead of just like, huh?
The internal affairs people.
Exactly. Other things that he mentions, so this wasn't under his policing plan, but it was mentioned under his LGBTQ plan, which I'll discuss later, but he wants to end over policing of LGBTQ people that results in higher rates of incarceration within the criminal justice position. This wasn't under one of the policy proposal things. It was just a stance that he made. Also, I didn't see anything specifically in regards to sex work on his website. So I looked into his stance on sex work. This is one of the only things that I did find. The former Queens District Attorney, and I mean Queens, New York, District Attorney candidate, who is a queer Puerto Rican Queens native by the name of Tiffany Caban. She lost because y'all niggas didn't vote for her.
Niggas didn't vote.
But she held a Twitter town hall on criminal justice reform, and somebody asked specifically to Julian Castro, what is your position on the decriminalization of sex work? This is an exact quote. We should prioritize enforcement on traffickers and violence against sex workers. I don't support federal prosecution of sex workers, and I want to ensure reforms don't worsen conditions for them. And then he said, I appreciate at Caban for Queens, that's Tiffany Caban's at on Twitter's leadership on this. I'm open to learning more. So to me, it seems like it's not something that was at the forefront of his mind or something that he knows very much about. And the fact that it's not on his website seems to me like he's purposely shying away from it, which I see many politicians do. And I think that's because of this conflation between sex trafficking and sex work. So on his website, there's a couple of times where he talks about human trafficking and sex trafficking, but no thing about sex work. And I think it's because he's conflating those two things. So his stance on FOSTA SESTA is unclear. I do think it's interesting that going back to the LGBTQ thing with the higher rates of incarceration, like a lot of LGBT, particularly like trans teens, get into survival sex work because they are kicked out of their homes and can't get jobs otherwise. So if you do want to end the over-policing of LGBTQ folks, you do actually have to address decriminalization of sex work. If you're listening, Julian, or if your brother is listening, Joaquin.
Hey, Joaquin.
Okay. Moving on to housing. He committed $50 billion to affordable housing of domestic violence victims and plans to establish housing for victims of human trafficking. So, like, one of the many instances of human trafficking.
I believe he do this because he actually knows what to do about housing and urban development.
Yes, he does.
He's not putting that there.
Ben Carson. He, in regards to foster care, here's one point. So some states permit state licensed agencies to discriminate against potential parents based on their sexuality, whether that person is just like gay or trans or something like that, or if they're like in a relationship where it's very clear like this is two men dating. So some states still allow for that to happen because they're ass backwards, and he wants to put policy in place to prevent that. In regards to Indigenous women, I really like, so a lot of people have, or maybe not a lot of people, I just looked at a Pete Buttigieg's thing as a control. I was like looking at different people's stances on different things just to be like, is this something that I should hone in on? And, or like, where's the differences in this honing in? So on Castro's site, it's like, I think it just says Indigenous peoples or something like that, or maybe even Native people. On Buttigieg's site, it says Indian country, which I do know some Native folks do still refer to themselves as that, but I don't think Pete Buttigieg should be referring to them as that. And on his, I mean, we'll get into him on a later week, but unless he drops out, in which case I don't think he's going to be anybody's VP candidate, so we're never going to talk about him. But there's no point on Indigenous women, and Julian has at least, like, this is like, this is my little PDF for Indigenous women. So under that, he proposes that he would like to create a presidential task force to prioritize missing and murdered Indigenous women, as well as, I think he wants that to apply to women who are trafficked, women and girls who are trafficked. And that includes, like, actually assessing the standards of how these cases are investigated and to start a grant to fund victims of trafficking. Also, apparently, the Trump administration removed emotional abuse from the definition of domestic violence.
Who told him they could?
Who told him he could bomb Soleimani? Who tells him anything? Let's start there.
Like, so he... All right.
It's just wilding out here. And like, why, you know? Like, what was that going to do?
Because he's emotionally
abusive. I think anything like, I don't know if including emotional abuse was an Obama era policy that was set forth, but literally anything that Obama has set forth as policy, he's just like, rolling back. It like doesn't even matter. Like, don't wear red shoes on Tuesday. Oh, you niggas are going to actually wear red shoes on Tuesday now.
Every Tuesday. And just petty.
Just being a fucking baby.
Yeah. Oh, just a child.
Yes, exactly. So Julian Castro would like to put that back into place. And I like the fact that he included that. Like, that's not something that I randomly found and just applied it to Indigenous women. That was on the bullet point there because he's addressing the fact that this is abuse that happens. It seems like, because these are policies that obviously our politics are in line with, that we're bigging him up as a candidate, but also underneath that, I want to make it clear and known that I know that mad people like went into this. Like, I know that he consulted with Indigenous women and trans folks and queer folks and people with disabilities that actually like heightened this stance and allowed him to be the candidate that he is. So to all the unnamed people, like, we're really shouting at you.
Yes.
These niggas be the figureheads. Next, healthcare. So there's something called the Hyde Amendment, and it is a legislative provision that bars the use of federal funds to pay for abortion, except for to save the life of the person. It actually, like the amendment says, the woman. Mm-hmm. Or if the pregnancy arises in the case of incest or rape. Mm-hmm. And specifically, federally funded could mean one of these things. It could mean folks enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid. It could mean Native American folks. It could mean U.S. service people and veterans, people in Peace Corps, federal employees, D.C. residents, and folks in immigration detention facilities and prisons.
It can also mean facilities and clinics that receive federal funding.
Well, there you go. Thank you for adding that. And Julian Castro would just like to repeal that amendment.
He said, nah.
Yeah. Not no more. Just doesn't want it to exist. In regards to people with disabilities, he says he pledges to increase funding for programs that assist victims with disabilities of sexual assault and domestic violence through defending and renewing the Violence Against Women Act and the Family Violence Protection Service Act. Also, as it stands, I didn't know this, currently Social Security
benefits penalize people with disabilities who are otherwise entitled to benefits who seek to marry and or live with family, friends, or other loved ones. He pledges to not cut your Social Security if you're disabled and you're married, because that doesn't make any sense and that's not fair.
Yeah.
Two more points. We have immigration. He would like to eliminate discrimination for LGBTQ families in binational same-sex relationships under the visa system. I'm not going to lie, this is one that I didn't understand, and it comes from a very silly place of a contradiction in my head, but some of you might know I'm a very big fan of the show 90 Day Fiancé, and on this, the season has not premiered yet, of which I'm referring to, but there's a commercial, and there is a lesbian couple where one of the women is bringing on another woman over on what seems like a fiance K-1 visa. And I'm just like, and I also like Googled it a bit and I couldn't find anything that said that.
You couldn't?
Yeah. So I'm not sure. Maybe it might apply to the actual marriage visa, because there's a fiance visa and there's a marriage visa. But people in countries where gay marriage isn't legal can't have a marriage visa because they're not technically married. So maybe it's that. I don't know.
Or maybe it's just like covert discrimination. Okay. So not anything blanketly stated, because recently marriage has been passed for all orientations. So nothing that's blanketly stated, but like people getting their visa denied because you walk in and they see you're two lesbians or, you know, two queer people.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Another point on immigration, he would like to protect victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking, ensuring that these individuals are not subject to detention, deportation, or legal reprisal following their reporting of these incidents. And my question was, does that apply to sex workers? And I don't think it does, because you don't have any stance or opinion on sex workers yet. The federal thing that he said, where he said sex workers shouldn't be federally prosecuted, leads me to believe that that does fall under that, but don't know and won't know unless he is someone's VP candidate. Last but not least, our Quilt Bang community, or LGBTQIA people. Some policy proposals that he has include banning conversion therapy, directing federal funds to prevent violence against transgender women of color, allowing transgender shelter seekers to be accommodated in federally funded homeless shelters according to their gender identity, passing the Equality Act that prevents LGBTQ folks from discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations, and to enable transgender people to serve in the military without fear of prejudice or justice. That is Julian Castro, by way of Sam.
Thank you, Sam, for breaking this down.
You're welcome.
So each one of these was stated on his website.
These are, I didn't make up these bullet points. I mean, I called it Quilt Bang. Yes. He didn't call it Quilt Bang. I know he did. But yeah, these are all actual subcategories that he has on his website. With the exception of, you know, like the LGBTQ under policing thing, like I shifted
it.
Policing was a thing. LGBT was a thing. Sex work was the only thing that wasn't a thing.
Okay. Julian, I'm sad to see you go.
Yeah.
Just pass these points on to the next person.
Yeah.
And just, you know, make them aware of it.
Yeah.
I feel like because I don't watch any of these presidential debates, it gives me anxiety. But like when I'm hearing by way of like the news that I catch, or, you know, radio talk or whatever, they're always just talking about like war and like housing. Like it's never this intersectional. It's never these many points that like really dive into our country's problems. They're always like these large blanketed things. And it's like, we got a lot more going on than that. Yes, those are important too. I want to know where you stand on those too. But we got a lot more going on than that.
Yeah. I mean, the debates are still like television, and these are networks that are not niche networks in the way that Inner Hole Uprising is a niche show. So like for the purposes of their ratings, that's why they're going to cover like these big broad issues. And that makes me think of like, I'm just not sure of other ways that other things are addressed, you know. Like I think it's important that Tiffany Caban did this, like this is specifically criminal justice reform. So maybe you know, outside of this, like if you do have specific issues that you are in tune with, like seeing
where these candidates are speaking at very specific town halls or like very specific schools. Like when they go to an HBCU, for example, mm-hmm. they're going to be talking about issues that specifically address Black people. Yeah, it's kind of fucked up, but I think sometimes you have to just like go out and find it.
Yeah, I get that information.
So that was the first installment of Politics. Akua had asked this earlier off mic, but a lot of folks don't know who is running and who ran, who all was there. So I'm going to put a link in the description of this episode of a Wikipedia page that actually has like everybody who ran, everybody who denied running, who's like, oh, Stacey Abrams, you gonna do it? And she was like, nah, like Wikipedia says that. And it also has like a very quick chart on where they stand on most major issues in under the same like bullet points of like criminal justice and things like that. If you enjoyed that, shoot us a tweet at Innerhoe Uprising. If you would like to hear more or less of it, you know, you can also shoot us a DM at Innerhoe Uprising. You can comment on SoundCloud. You can, if you're a patron, you can chat about it in our Slack channel. You can shoot us an email at ihupodcast@gmail.com. You can call us at 404-491-9158. If you know us, you can actually just shoot a text and be like, that segment was whack, bro, but mm-hmm. I don't think that it was.
Not at all.
I don't think it was. And if you are a patron on our Patreon, you can vote for which candidate we're going to cover next. So at the time you're hearing this, I will have already put up a poll and you can be like, oh, I want to hear about Joe Biden next. Oh, I want to hear about Tulsi Gabbard next. You can do all that. And that'll be open to all tiers of Patreon. And that is another episode of Inner Hall Uprising. All
right. If you guys... Do it again. We do it every time.
We do it every time.
If you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hall Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inner Hall Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook community, which is Inner Hall Uprising Community with a pun.
Yes, I'm glad that you got it this time.
You can go to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe and to check out the little bit of merchandise we have left.
There's like 10 shirts. They're in that small little box right there.
Come on, get them 10 shirts.
If you want to buy them out, actually, you could resell them. Don't do that, please. But I mean, I just don't want them here anymore. I want to restock already.
You guys can follow me at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can follow me at Slam Rid on Instagram and Twitter and Carmen San Diego on Instagram for travel and food photos. Have a great week.
Bye.